A Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Oh, hey, it's a fantastic confessions podcast. It's the podcast that everyone loves the most of all the podcasts that are available. Is that right, Susie?
That is right.
In all the polls, when people are asked, this is the number one on the downloads, on the advertising, everything.
Well,
yes, I think that's right.
I haven't seen the stats, but
Holly, do you think that's right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. The science chart.
The art chart.
Where's the art chart? I haven't seen the art chart.
Don't know. On all podcast streaming places.
It's on the art corridor. I should go and have a look at the art chart later. Anyway, what a show this is. Sister Susie is here, as you can tell.
I am indeed.
Brother Matthew is here, as you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Holly is also here, draped over the cupboard of tat.
I am, yeah.
Wow.
Later we're going to stop at the parish notice board for all the latest notices and five-star reviews and people praising Matt to the skies.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Convinced he sends them in.
Himself. Yes, I do.
Yeah, I think he does. Yeah.
Also the Not For Broadcast section and all the confessions that featured on this week's Top Drive Time show with all the action on Greatest Hits Radio between 4 and 7, Monday to Friday. Helen's football fishbone disaster, which we called David Pleat His Blue White Army. David Pleat His Blue White Army.
Yes, yeah.
Rick's water slide wipeout, don't go chasing waterfalls, and Flora's confession falling into place. But first we start with Nigel's school punishment predicament, the happiest days of our lives.
Simon Mayo's confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Nigel.
Oh.
I would say a 12 certificate does contain outdated school disciplinary ideas.
Oh, dear.
Simon and the confessional conglomerate, I write to request your consideration for forgiveness for an outstanding misdemeanour many, many moons ago. Somewhat adversely inspired by your teacher feature, I offer myself to the realm of your vestal vicardom rather than continue to accept the judgment partaken by the educational elite of the establishment soon to be mentioned. Preamble.
Okay. Mm.
The events took place during my final year at St. Custard's Middle School as we entered the first summer of the 1980s. As a final year student at St. Custard's before making the leap to big school, life was good. Selection exams were behind us and fate would take its course. My peers and I would make the most of any clement weather during breaks by running wild on the grassy slopes of the school grounds, kicking balls, ignoring girls, getting sweaty, and generally being boys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
St. Custard's had a giant of a leader, not grand via stature, but of character, that cannot be denied, a product of Welsh descendancy. Headmaster Grimes sought his own personalised Stedford from every school assembly and would stand on the raised stage before miming masses, whacking the song sheet with his trusty cane in a vain effort to raise volumes that his forefathers would hear away in the valleys. That trusty cane is about to make another appearance.
Oh, is it?
Oh,
on this particular day, we were obviously without a ball or jumpers for goalposts, and the post-canteen dinner hour activity had descended into a general two-sided free-for-all, albeit friendly, with plenty of gambling, as in gambolling, grass stains and general raucousness. St. Custard's grounds were on different levels, landscaped beautifully with flat plateaus of sports pitches and the inevitable short, steep graduations leading down to each of the lower levels, finally descending to the nearby canal.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Could possibly happen. The final lower level secured us from the general public, or likely them from us, with a border of chain link fencing of the highest order that only the naughty smokers would breach for the seclusion their habit sought. At the height of our riotous enjoyment, I had somehow managed to launch one of the Baker twins down the bank, and he was hanging, unhurt, but nevertheless upside down, on a section of the fence, secured by the strength of his home-knitted school jumper.
He's thrown him onto the fence!
Credit must be given here to either Ma or Grandma Baker for their stitchery, as young Baker hung like prey of some giant spider. It's the way schooling used to happen.
Yeah. Mm.
At the most unfortunate moment for me, before we could free young Baker, a pink dinner lady appeared and inquired who was the guilty offender. And never one to hide from my actions, I stepped forward and was subsequently sent to the headmaster's office to report my actions and await my punishment. My old school punishment. My Billy Bunter Bash Street Kids, now obviously not allowed kind of punishment.
Oh, that, yes.
This must have been one of the busier days that year, as when Grimes appeared, he took one look at the 12 pupils requiring his consideration and uttered words that I will never forget. I haven't got time to listen to all of your stories, so arrange yourselves, eldest first, and come into my office one at a time. As the second eldest, I took one place to my left. My friend Peason's October birth date made him go first, and I filtered along to accept my fate. This wasn't my first experience of Grimes' trusty cane, as a previous offence of sliding down the banister had earned a smarting six. This forthcoming second six of the best had doubled my tally, and off me and Peason popped, palms a-stinging, for an afternoon's further education. He seems almost to have enjoyed it. Yes. It's very strange. And so I put myself before your consideration. I'm not seeking forgiveness from the Baker twin. They were identical and I could never get their names right. It wasn't hurt and we were only playing. I do not seek forgiveness from the pink dinner lady. She was only doing her job and no doubt I may have been a tiny bit cheeky prior to my sending off. I do not seek forgiveness from Mr. Grimes, nor any other arthritic result he may have been subject to, being rather too keen on Mr. Whippy. I thank him for his leadership qualities and impact understanding of seeking the truth. Very strange. Okay. I do, however, seek forgiveness from the youngest of the accused of the Dirty Dozen and apologise on behalf and hopefully the other 10 who went before him. Had we not have collectively presented ourselves that day for judgment, Grimes may have had time to consider his story on its own merits, because the poor kid's crime was not of his own making. He was just sent to the headmaster to tell him that his trainers had been stolen.
Right. Okay.
However, because Headmaster Grimes did not inquire of this, he got the same treatment as us miscreants. I mean, I'm kind of glad that education doesn't follow these kind of rules anymore.
Yeah.
And that headmasters like Grimes are sort of not around, as far as I'm aware. Outdated, strange behaviour. Sister Susie, what are you saying?
Yeah, it is outdated. And I feel like, you know, Nigel can't be held responsible for the head teacher. He should, you know, take ownership of that himself. But
However,
what I will say is, you know, essentially, he threw someone on a fence. He threw someone so hard they dangled on a fence. And he may not have been hurt this time, but who knows what could have happened. So for that reason, I'm not going to forgive.
I'm sure Matty's even now thinking, which one of us hasn't hung upside down on a fence?
Come. Yes, I'm going to forgive because, I mean, he owned up, didn't he? He owned up straight away when the dinner lady came out, so that's good. And it's not his fault that Grimes was deciding to do this collective punishment of not even listening to the evidence. I'm just going to whack everyone different times. But the youngest got away because the train has gone missing. That doesn't necessitate being hit with the cane. So, you know, there's nothing, he's not done anything wrong. So, yes, I'm definitely going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
That did my voice. Goodness me, that was going very high. I'm not sure I had anything left.
No.
Like you were doing the commentary on the 1500 metres.
I got like too soon.
It's the final 100 metres.
Another 300 metres to go. Yeah.
Very, very strange reasoning as ever. Anyway, more in just a moment, but first we turn to the parish notice board where Matt in his normal voice, well, actually,
he's no, probably not.
Probably not.
There you go, he's in it already. Go on, off you go.
Five stars, love it, says Amelia with exclamation marks and arrows and pound signs. I love this podcast.
That's not a pound sign, that's an F.
That's a pound, isn't it?
Nope.
It's an F.
I think that's a pound.
Anyway,
Amelia, I'm very much in your corner. I love this podcast. It's great. I wait every Friday for it to come out and love it every time. I love Holly and Susie's harsh but true critique and Matt's kind forgiveness every time. We can't forget Father Simon, who has amazing accents. I love the show. Would give an infinite number of stars if I could. Matt for Prime Minister or King. Quite right,
too. What would you rather be?
Prime Minister or King? Well, it feels like King, you don't have any power, but you're in there for life.
Yeah.
Prime Minister, you do have born power, but, you know, things can go against you. The herd can move.
Which one?
So it's one of those two, isn't it?
Yeah, which one?
What a choice that would be. I think I'll have King, because then you can't get rid of me.
without.
He also got more money.
More money, exactly.
There you go. Okay.
Exactly. Good point. Joe Meekin says 5 stars, best podcast in the world.
Yes.
Simon, Matt, Holly, Susie, and the crew. You're the best podcast in the world.
Again.
I have listened to Simon for many, many years and was so happy to find you on my podcast list. This led me to discover Greatest Hits Radio.
Hurrah!
And I've never looked back. I've converted my husband from Radio 4.
Excellent.
Nearly disowned him, to be honest. I mean, Woman's Hour is no match for your show.
Correct.
Quite right. Keep on forgiving our confessions, Matt. You're our only hope.
Obi-Wan Kenobi
reference there.
So Joe's other half converted from Radio 4.
Yeah.
Radio 4,
this is a fantastic.
Yeah.
So, you do have another one.
There's another one.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Alice the Pond Surfer. Okay, should have read this one beforehand. Alice the Bond Service is magnificence personified. Oh, good, 5 stars. Oh, my goodness, absolutely breathtaking. Simon, Susie and Holly aren't just great, they are absolute angels sent from entertainment heaven.
Wow.
Hashtag emoji stars. And Matt, stop it. National Treasure doesn't even begin to cover it. He is a beacon of light, dignity and sheer magnificence. I'm petitioning for a golden statue in every single new town, showering us all in his glory. Ooh, I say.
I'm
not sure what she's got in her mind there about what my statue's going to be doing.
Yeah.
Anyway, also my absolutely lovely servant who once shared a dwelling with the great Matt Watts.
Oh, here brings tears
to my, should have read this. Brings tears to my eyes and tales of his saintly nature. Apparently, he is a cleaning machine. Toilets sparkling. What? Master of the bins? Shares his delightful ketchup and fruit cordials with one and all. Oh, no, I do know who this is. Truly, he is a celestial angel walking among us. Right. Okay.
So did you go out with Alice the
No. So this is obviously someone else. But I know. So, right. So basically, when I was at uni, you know how I bought, this was a massive own goal, by the way, in a shared house, but I bought a massive tomato sauce, squeezy tomato sauce, okay? And
a brand or brand or non-brand?
Branded, obviously, because
non-branded.
So branded, and it's massive, but it's, you know, a little bit of money there, but I thought worth the investment because this will last for ages. But of course, if you've got a massive thing of tomato ketchup, then everyone feels they can use it. And I lost my mind with people doing that. Also, I've also bought a massive bottle of cordial. Robinson's.
Yeah. Squash.
Squash, yes, that's the word. Well done, Holly.
Or cordial.
Well done, Suze. Could be both. Anyway, I bought massive, and people help themselves to that because people think, oh, if it's a massive one, he won't notice. But I did notice. They also took my Mars Bar ice cream, which I was very unhappy, and they took pictures of themselves eating my Mars Bar's ice cream and taunted me with them. I didn't enjoy that either.
You didn't get the big ones to share?
They're not for sharing.
No, what? Who buys massive ketchup?
I can imagine you as a cleaning machine, though.
Cleaning machine? Well, that's not true. I didn't clean the toilets.
I think you did.
At all.
I think you did.
Master of the bins.
Did you do the bins? I don't remember doing the bins out.
No.
Anyway, if you have stories about Matt, please let us know.
But I am a celestial angel, so well done.
I don't like the idea of the statue, though.
A golden statue of me, showering everyone with my magnificence.
What is the point of statues? What
pose would you do for the statue?
I think, good question, Holly. I think what I would do is I would have my arms open in the way that I am with my arms open to the world, Holly. And maybe I'd have one leg in the air to show.
Imagine Karate Kid,
that kind of thing.
So
my arms are out, and one, because you know how you have to brush your teeth with your arm, with your leg up in the air these days. So that would show how much balance I've got as well.
All statues are a waste of time.
Are they all of them?
All of them.
Right. Okay.
Pointless. Why make an 8-foot person out of rock? What's the point?
Okay. But that's very much what the Romans were doing, was it not?
Well, exactly. Yes. Back in the day. Now
cool.
We have,
back
I don't know, photographs.
Photographs.
Saying,
so she just have a photograph on the plinth. Good idea.
No plinths.
I don't think you need
like
a plinth.
It. Put that on a T-shirt.
Yeah, plinth and then your statue.
And then a picture of me.
Wow, that'd be very hard.
No statues.
Pictures of me.
At all.
And it'll say, forgiving brother Matt.
Susie, what have you selected from the notice board, please?
I've got an email from Andrew who said,
says, Dear Father Simon, sisters Susie and Holly and brother Matt, as any primary school parent with children in year six will know, this past week has been SATS week. For those of you who are unaware, this is a week of tests that those children who are in their final year of primary school do. Our own year sixer has found the whole process a little stressful during the build-up, so a change of routine for going to school was required. Mm-hmm. Instead of heading down to school with her little brother, she's been going earlier with me, and I decided to help her take her mind off it. A softener was in order. And then it says, Father Simon now explains the concept of a softener that originated from the film podcast.
A softener? So not a fabric softener?
Nope.
I'm not quite sure, really. Is this like a short movie that goes before the main picture?
I'll carry on. The softener, in this case, was listening to a confession on the drive to school. The night before,
Maybe it's when you watch something that's really full on and a bit scary, yes, and a bit dark,
and then you need to
and afterwards you watch...
Something else, like
a nice sitcom
or a
comedy. That's what it is.
There we go.
That's the softener.
Okay, so the softener...
I'm very old.
The softener in this case was listening to a confession on the drive to school. The night before, I'd been selecting a confession from recent podcasts that I have heard before to play to her. We enjoyed the Morris dance deception, teacher training prank, the rabbit incident, and the disastrous interview, all of which achieved their goal of taking her mind off her impending tests and making her laugh.
Excellent. Mm.
She is now a confirmed fan of the podcast, and I look forward to sharing more confessions with her. Can I ask for some tat from the cupboard of tat for her, please? She's worked really hard this week and has been fantastic coping with it all. The confessions has played an important part in setting her up every day, and she would be thrilled with the surprise. Thank you, and keep up the good work, Andrew.
Excellent.
Nice. Yes.
Okay, well, that sounds like a decent letter, but it's all down to you, Holly. Holly, and what kind of mood she's in, so... Mm.
Well, you're teaching your child about confessions, and that's pretty good. I do like that. I remember taking SATs as a year sixer, and they were pretty dreadful. Didn't enjoy it. Not fun. And they kind of set you up and just say, like, you're average, and then you feel average. They don't test you on anything good. They don't test you on cool things. They test you on boring things. Anyway, that's besides the point.
What did you want to be tested on?
Well, it's not like, oh, let's test you on, like, music or dance or something funky. It was always, like, I don't know, non-verbal reasoning or some rubbish like that. Rubbish, I tell
dance.
You.
They didn't test my dancing.
Yeah, they didn't test your dancing.
What's year six? What age is that? What's year six?
11. Last year of primary school.
You'd be about 11 years old,
eight.
I think.
10, 11?
10?
Who wants to dance when you're 11?
I think it's 10.
No. What do you mean, who wants to dance when you're 11?
I was dancing when I was 10.
Yeah, see, no, Susie and I were loving it. Absolutely. Yeah, a mug and a postcard will be on its way to Andrew soon.
I would have said non-verbal reasoning is more useful than dancing.
Dancing is so useful.
Yeah.
But also the ability to verbal non-reasoning.
Yeah, but then you were told, like, oh, and you're a really average person in year six, and, like, this is what you're going to get at GCSEs. And it's like, bro, I was, you know...
Bro?
You,
like, bro. Very much out of that.
You talk to your
teachers in year six.
You grow and you get better, don't you?
You do.
You can't just judge, like, you know, an 11-year-old on how they're going to be when they're 16. It's just a completely different thing.
Yeah.
Follow your dreams. Yeah. Is that what's going to be on the plinth?
It's on the plinth.
Yeah. Anyway, if you have anything to add, please send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. A couple of mentions to Paul Frame, Ed Howard 74, Susan D and Neil Ogden, who were amongst those who were in touch with the secret code phrase from last week, which was, of course, always the bridesmaid, never the laxative, for reasons that I forget.
That was a very good one.
Matt will have a new secret code phrase for you at the end of the podcast. And now we dive into the confessions marked not for broadcast. What a fetid pool this is.
Oh, really?
Derek, you and your gang of pre-teen delinquents apparently developed a foolproof system for taking cigarettes from your local garage. Theft, I think that's
called. That is theft.
Yeah.
Wait for the bell to ring, sneak behind the counter, steal cigarettes, smoke what you could, and stash the evidence in a rabbit hutch. Now, while we appreciate the decades of guilt and the heartfelt plea for forgiveness, this is clearly organised cigarette theft, underage smoking, and the exploitation of an unattended garage shop. All illegal.
Yep.
Which means it has landed immediately and uncontroversially and uncontrovertibly in the at the very top of the not for broadcast pile this week. Derek, sorry.
Tut tut.
So they were hiding the cigarettes in the rabbit hutch.
Yeah.
That's what they were doing.
Tut tut. Yes. But no tat tat. That's
no
what
tat
we have
tat.
To say.
That is
a
true.
Whole new
that's
feature.
What we say. Yeah.
And Becky, your next door neighbours did sound like an absolute nightmare, playing drum and bass until 3 o'clock in the morning. However, this does not excuse you keying their brand new Mercedes.
Wow.
You can't do that. Oh, my goodness, no.
Although...
Was that it? Was she just, yeah. She just said... You sent in a confession about, I had the neighbours from hell and I keyed their car.
Yeah.
Yours.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, that's what it, that's how it boils down. Okay. There's probably, you know, a few paragraphs of flowery.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah. No.
But
yeah.
Essentially, you can't vandalise someone else's car.
No, you can't do that.
So please don't do that. Mm. But also, please don't play drum and bass until 3 o'clock in the morning.
No, don't
do anything till 3 o'clock in the morning other than just stay quiet.
Yes.
I think that's fair enough. Anyway, let's get back to the confessions that were perfectly fine and very, very funny. Here we go with Helen's fishbone fiasco. David Pleat and his Blue White Army. David Pleat and his Blue White Army.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Let's check in with today's confession, which comes from Helen, OK? And is topical based on all the football that Matt's been talking about
really?
Today. Yes.
OK.
Simon, Matt, Holly, Susie and the team, dearly beloved, after hearing a confession this week regarding a dad watching football on CFAX and his 10-month-old baby falling off the bed and, let's not forget, breaking her wrist.
That's true. Yeah.
I thought you might like this tale. It's actually my dad's confession, but he is no longer with us, so I am making it on his behalf. My brother and I were brought up as Spurs fans. That's not the confession. Okay. It's just the setup.
Perfectly okay, isn't it? Yeah.
So.
No other option was available to us if we wanted bed and board. As such, we grew up as junior Spurs members and spent many a Saturday afternoon, rarely played on any other day back then, at White Hart Lane. And so it was that on the 16th of May, 1987, we found ourselves at Wembley to play Coventry City.
Ah, of course,
in the FA Cup final. Having arrived at Wembley, we were treated to fish and chips outside the stadium, which is fantastic. However, what, let me ask you, is the worst thing about fish and chips?
I don't think there's anything wrong with fish and chips. No, I'm trying to think of anything, and there's nothing wrong.
There is, and here it is. I was 14 at the time, and I got a fishbone caught in my throat.
No.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a fish problem.
Yeah.
And it is a really scary thing. My pleas for sympathy were met with comments along the lines of, "Are you sure you're not making it up?
Okay. What?
It'll shift. You'll be fine. Don't make a scene. It's getting embarrassing.
Right.
You're imagining it." And so
don't
on.
Don't make a scene.
So I spent the whole of the first half, says Helen, coughing and struggling with a very sore, scratched throat as the bone simply would not shift itself. Anyone who's had a fishbone stuck will know how scary this is. Clive Allen's opening goal within minutes of the kickoff did not take my mind off things. The Coventry equaliser made it worse. But then Gary Mabbott put Spurs back in front 5 minutes before halftime, and that eased the pain considerably. However, I was still coughing and spluttering and quite possibly complaining. My mum did suggest perhaps they ought to take me to the St John's ambulance people, but there was no way my dad was going to miss any of the match, even if I was suffering. Thanks, Dad. Half-time came, and perhaps because he was fed up of my coughing and spluttering and complaining, or because he feared a medical emergency occurring in the second half, the gentleman behind us offered me a carton of Ribena. Other blackcurrant drinks obviously are available. I gratefully grabbed the drink from him, as I was clearly getting no sympathy from my own parents. Thankfully, to everyone's relief, but particularly mine, drinking said carton of juice did the trick, and the bone shifted itself from my throat.
Ah, brilliant.
Ah, nice.
So, says Dad, you actually did have a bone. Well, you should have said. Anyway, second half, calm down. The second half was far more peaceful for all of us. It's peaceful for a very good reason. And it was far more comfortable for me, although Coventry did equalise.
That's true.
Taking the match to extra time when they scored again. And
they did, didn't they?
1-3-2. Moving on, though.
Okay.
The important business. I have forgiven my dad, and the tale is often regaled with friends and family when discussing the importance of football. But I write to publicly apologise to all of those around us on that fateful day, listening to a 14-year-old girl who was convinced she was going to die choking, coughing and spraying. Well, you do at 14. That's I'm true. Going to die. But the entire first half of the match cannot have been much fun. And to thank the wonderful gentleman who saved my life with a carton of Ribena. And I ask for forgiveness from the collective and your dear listeners for my wonderful dad. I'm sure if he thought there was any possibility of me actually dying, he would have taken me to the lovely St. John's Ambulance people, but not until the end of the match.
No, obviously wait till halftime.
You can just hang around for a bit longer.
Wow.
I remain a lifelong Spurs fan despite being married to a Nottingham Forest fan, and maybe as I've grown up, I too have come to understand the importance of football. But on balance, it wasn't worth the ghastliness of a fishbone, because that is just the worst feeling. Anyway, Helen signs off. Come on, you Spurs. I'm just saying, I am just reading out. I'm just reading out. Look, let me just show it. There you are.
It does say that.
It does say that. So I think definitely forgiven. Very good. Suze, what do you say?
Well, Helen, like, I really feel for you here. That choking on a fishbone is horrible.
It's the worst.
And you're completely ignored by your parents. And, you know, the poor gentleman behind you was a saint offering you that kind of rubbish. I can't even believe your dad didn't offer you a drink. I am sorry, I can't forgive your dad, because regardless of how important football is to you, whether it's the FA Cup, the World Cup final or whatever, your child is always more important.
Yes.
And as she said, she could have died. So not forgiven, I'm afraid.
Brother Matthew.
But she didn't die. So, you know, in a way, wasn't the dad right? Wasn't it better to be, you know, concentrating on Clive Allen and Gary Mabbott and all the rest of them? Yeah, I know, because it all worked out in the end. The Ribena, that did the job. And then there goes the fishbone. And pity about the Gary Mabbott own goal in extra time. But there you go. You know, that's the way the cookie crumbles,
you
certainly
don't
for
have
Spurs.
To go on about
but it was
that.
Historic, wasn't it, for Coventry winning the FA Cup for the first time?
We don't need
that. So, for those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Saint or sinner? Find them all on Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
I like talking about 1987.
Yes, the FA Cup final.
Or 2026.
Yes. Oh,
actually, I remembered having read that email that my mother would never eat fish precisely because of the fear of having a fishbone stuck in the back of
her
neck.
That's fair enough, actually,
Which she did have once upon a time, and it was like traumatizing, so she would never eat fish.
It is one of those things that doesn't happen as often, because we're just used to all the fish that we eat being filleted, aren't we?
I think our throats are also stronger, and they have a,
that
a
is
little,
true.
Kind of bone filter.
Yeah, bone filter that I had
birth.
That put in, yes, many years ago. Very good.
Didn't know you could get that.
Yeah, well
you
worth
should
money.
Ask. You can get upgrades.
Oh. Just go to Homebase, use a special coupon.
Homebase,
they fit it free of charge.
I got mine at the GP.
At the GP.
Oh, really?
GP and Homebase, they do your free filters.
The GP at the Homebase.
GP at the Homebase, Who'd have thought? What a great tie-in that was. Can't believe we've kept this bit going.
Mixed reaction on the people's verdicts, including this. Although it made a good point, I think.
Catherine says, forgiven, as a former member of St. John Ambulance, I have first-hand experience of people incurring injuries at big events and missing out on momentous occasions. But if the man had a Ribena during the first half, why didn't he give it to you earlier?
It's a very good point.
It is a great point, yes.
Maybe he fancied it himself. Maybe he'd had half of it and he thought, I don't want to give it all to that girl causing all that trouble.
Yes.
So I'll have half of it and then give her the rest at half time.
And you could also tell that that correspondent knew what she was talking about, because she referred to it as the St. John Ambulance, not St. John's Ambulance, which is what some people refer it to.
Does that annoy you on a regular basis?
It does, only because it got drummed into me when I first went to journalism school. Never, ever call it St. John's Ambulance. It is St. John Ambulance.
Why would you be talking about St. John Ambulance?
Because it was always coming up in stories. You would always
It's always coming up.
Let me tell you, Holly. It would always come up, and overall, and the people at St. John Ambulance would always get angry that you would call it
but
St.
Isn't
John's.
But is it not the ambulance of St. John? In which case, you could say St. John's Ambulance.
Well, it's not St. John's Ambulance.
Yeah, it's his.
No, his St. John is there.
It's his ambulance.
He's driving it. Very busy man, St. John, with his ambulance at all the sporting events.
I think you can let that one go.
I don't think so.
Coming up, we join Ricky, who's in charge of the water boggan at Southport Pleasureland. In his confession, don't go chasing waterfalls, but first, it's Flora's confession, falling into place.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
Tonight's confession comes from Flora. Thank you, Flora. Father Simon and the Ecclesiastical Collective, I have for you a classic misdemeanor for which I ask forgiveness. Back in COVID times, my then boyfriend and I
for complicated reasons, got stuck living together.
Oh, dear.
We had never intended to live together, but as happened to other people at that time, this was our situation, because you just had to stay where you were.
In your bubble, wasn't it?
Right. In your bubble.
So that's where Flora was. Let's call my then-boyfriend Tom, Tom, who was a charming Irishman. And although we hadn't planned to live with each other, everything worked out fine.
Oh, no.
What?
Are we gonna get an accent? Going. I really hope we're getting an accent. Anyway, no,
Tom doesn't speak.
Does he not?
Oh, actually, well, then let's find out.
Let's find out,
We had a gorgeous but very old dog who we should call Timmy. Tom used to joke that I loved Timmy more than him, and he was right.
Yes.
Because Flora's not stupid.
No.
Yeah.
The time was, of course, very worrying, but there were occasions within lockdown that were quite pleasant. As you probably remember, activities during this time were somewhat limited. Despite our desperate attempts not to, we succumbed to the lure of jigsaws. In the rural area in which we lived, jigsaws became scarce and sought after. A real black market took off in jigsaws. Who would have thought? It's like the Middle Ages. All these jigsaws were exchanged in keeping with COVID rules at the time. It was at this time that I began to see a different side to Tom, the charming Irishman. We happened to be working on a tricky 1,500-piece jigsaw recreating the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and we're about to complete it when we realised there was one piece missing.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Tom's reaction to the missing piece was, to say the least, disproportionate.
Here it comes.
Something akin to toddler behaviour was displayed, and he all but threw himself on the floor, screaming and kicking.
Wow.
Definitely not the charming Irishman I knew. I have no script. There are no words.
Oh, there's no words?
No.
There's no words.
But let's imagine that he said, I'm really furious. There's a piece missing from my 1,500-piece jigsaw of the Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
In an Irish accent.
In an Irish accent. Anyway, time moved on, COVID ended, and it turned out that there were more uncharming things about Tom, such as him having a second secret girlfriend.
Oh.
What?
Things ended and I moved out. Sadly, circumstances meant I had to leave Timmy behind with Tom. Timmy was the dog, you remember?
Aww.
Yes.
And as you will all recall, I love Timmy far more than this feckless Irishman. Here's... said with feeling, I think.
Yeah, no.
So here's the first part of the confession. I retained a key to Tom's house. I know this was wrong, but it was kind of an insurance policy. When I knew Tom was out working and I had the opportunity, I would go round to Tom's house to see Timmy the dog. Just a quick cuddle and a couple of treats, and then I would stealthily leave, and no one but Timmy and I knew, and he wasn't going to tell, and neither was I. One day when I was doing an illicit visit to see Timmy, I noticed that there was a huge unfinished jigsaw on the dining table. At first, I was surprised that Tom still had an interest in this hobby. And yes, Father Simon, you've probably guessed what I did. I took just one piece of the jigsaw, knowing that Tom's reaction would be large and toddler-esque, that he would go absolutely ballistic. Apparently, Tom took to social media to vent his disgust at the poor morals of people who sold second-hand jigsaws these days.
Oh, dear.
I was only sad I wasn't there to witness Tom's incandescence firsthand so I could laugh in his face.
In his face.
In his face, wow.
Timmy passed away not long after that. That's Timmy the dog, not Tom the feckless Irishman. So thankfully, my visits and my temptation stopped. I threw the key into the sea and never darkened Tom's door again. So I ask forgiveness from you all, not from Tom, though, as a missing piece of jigsaw was the least he deserved. I'll call myself Flora. Okay, I'll call myself Flora. Very interesting. See, it's a tiny, tiny thing. One piece of a jigsaw and breaking into his house, I suppose. But let's see what Sister Susie makes of that.
I was with Flora for so long of this. You know, second secret girlfriend.
Bad.
Yeah.
Just terrible, 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 terrible. Yeah. But keeping a key to his house, I've got a problem with. You know, visiting his house when he doesn't know you're there. Even though if it's to see the dog that you love, that, you know.
She's invested.
I don't
she should own part of it.
That you took the jigsaw piece. Don't care about that. You broke into his house. You broke into his house.
I think that's fair enough.
I'm not sure I can forgive you, Flora. I want to.
But you're not going to. All right, Brother Matthew.
So I am going to forgive. I mean, Tom does sound like a nightmare, doesn't he? Going on social media to complain about jigsaws, please. But, you know, letting yourself into his house, was that all you were doing there, Flora?
Yeah, she was visiting the dog.
Mm. And have been a few other things going on. But she threw it in the sea, didn't she? Good for her.
It's the key, not the dog.
But the dog is dead, yep. So he's not coming back.
Okay, very
much a cruel summer for everyone, I think. So I'm going to forgive.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
So here we go with today's confession, which comes from Rick. Father Simon, this is quite an interesting one, I think. I was age 20. It's the summer of 1994. And I was working at the fairground in Southport Pleasureland for the summer season as a ride operator.
Now, I used to work at South Pleasure Beach in Southport. I used to work there. Not in 94, though.
Okay.
I was a little before then.
Wow.
So you know this patch very well.
I do, very well, yeah.
There was a new expensive ride for the summer season, the Water Boggan, it was called. A giant structure in the centre of the park, which was a large water slide in which the customer would climb a long staircase to the top, sit inside a rubber dinghy. As one of the operators, I would then press a button which would move the dinghy forward on a conveyor belt into a tube down which water was constantly flowing and crashing.
Ow.
The dinghy would slide down the curly tube and the customer in the dinghy would receive some gentle splashing, just enough to provide a bit of excitement or a mild thrill, which is the same thing, actually. Yes. Quite nice on a hot day. Mm. It sounds all a little bit Heath Robinson, this, but anyway.
Wow.
While the customer was going down the tube, I would take the next dinghy, which went back up on another conveyor belt, and prepare the next customer for their thrilling ride, being careful not to send them down until I was certain that the previous customer had safely exited the tube and my colleague at ground level had moved the dinghy on upward to the conveyor belt. The dinghy acted as a form of protection, its high sides ensuring that the customer would emerge from the tube mostly protected from the water, other than some mild splashing around the shoulders. I should mention at this point that there was a strict weight limit on the ride.
Okay.
From memory, I think it was around 14 stone. This was clearly signposted on all the stairs. Also, as a responsible ride operator, I would intercept anyone who looked to be a bit heavy, and I would calmly explain that they would be unable to ride for safety reasons.
That's brave.
That's not a good job, is it, really? So on this particular day, I was in my rhythm helping the customers into the dinghy, waiting to be certain that the previous customer had popped out of the tube safely, pressing the button to send the new customer down, getting the next dinghy and so on. And I spied a woman in the queue.
Oh, no.
Sometime before she reached the front of the quest. I reckon she exceeded the limit comfortably, close to 20 stone.
20 stone?
As a responsible ride operator, I simply had to explain to the lady that it would not be safer to go on the ride. It's actually the rules. Yes, as a 20-year-old who would blush if I had to even speak to a member of the opposite sex, I had to explain to this large, drunk, angry lady in front of her friends that despite having spent some time in the queue, I was not going to let her onto the slide. So I considered this in my mind and I looked again and I decided, probably she was, it was okay. She was just probably a touch under 14 stone after all, so everything would be okay. So after her friends had ridden first, I helped her into the dinghy and when it was safe to do so, I pressed the button and down she went. I helped the next customer into the dinghy and waited for the large lady to emerge from the tube.
I'm calling a large lady.
And then I waited. And I waited. Waited. Aww. Shrugs of shoulders from my colleagues at the bottom who had the responsibility of helping customers out of the dinghy and sending the next dinghy back up. And still we waited. My fears were realised when the dinghy emerged from the tube. However, the fact that it was upside down.
Oh, that's a bad sign.
And empty.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no. Empty?
Didn't bode well. 30 seconds or so later, the lady emerged from the tube on her bottom, slowly propelling herself along by pressing her hands against the sides of the slide and pushing herself forward. Even though I was at the top of the slide, I could see how bedraggled she had become. She looked completely drenched and absolutely furious. She was having strong words with my colleague, who was equally as frightened as me. He simply pointed up towards me, and the lady glared in my direction. Luckily, she couldn't get back up without buying another ticket, and she wasn't going to do that.
No.
I think she was consoled with some free tickets for other rides
another day. I do seek forgiveness from the lady whose day out was ruined by my inability to raise the difficult subject and for the train ride home, which she'd had to endure in soaking wet clothes. I hope that the four of you, Father Mayor, Matt, Merciful Monk, and Sisters Holly and Susie, can forgive me for this, although I must admit I did chuckle to myself and still do when I remember her slowly dragging herself through the water on her bottom. Thank you very much for all the entertainment that you bring. Okay, but maybe we don't bring as much entertainment as that famous ride, the Water Boggin. At Southport, where Matt used to work. There's probably a plaque there on
there. There is definitely a big plaque. Gotta be.
Used to work here.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, if the rules are very clearly stated, 14 stone and not above that, then is it her fault? I don't know. Is it his fault? What do you say, Susie?
I'm really torn here, Rick, because, you know, I feel like that was your job. That was your only job. And as difficult as that may have been, you maybe should have just had that conversation with the lady. I'm sure if you'd have told her what could have happened, she wouldn't want to have been bedraggled down the slide, dinghy-less, and at the bottom. And if you'd have saved her that embarrassment, then maybe that would have been a good thing.
But remember, she's described as a drunk, angry-looking scouse lady.
Exactly. If she was drunk, then maybe that should be a reason for her not going on the ride as well. So he should be doing his job. I can see why you wouldn't want to have that conversation. And how can you tell people's weight anyway? I don't know. Anyway, I'm not going to forgive him, but okay. I feel sorry for him.
Brother Matthew.
I am definitely going to forgive here. This is obviously the system's fault. Who comes up with a ride where you can't get on if you're too fat? And then you've got to leave that to be enforced by the poor bloke who's in charge, who's only doing it for a summer job. You know, that's not fair at all. He's going to have to go up to people and tell them, "You're too large to go on this ride." Goodness me. And also, it was nice and sunny, wasn't it? So she dried off. She'll be fine.
That's very nice.
She'll be fine. And she had a drink anyway, you know. And she saw all the signs and ignored them. So, you know, it's all her fault, really. So for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
What did you do at the Pleasureland thing?
So I was on the food section. I did a bit of bingo. I think we've talked about the bingo in the past. So I did a bit of the bingo and the Arabian Derby.
What's the Arabian Derby?
We talked about that. So, you know, you roll the balls. Roll the balls up and then your ball will go into pot three or pot two or pot one, and then your camel would go along three bits or two bits or one bit. And my goodness, that was my first job commentating on the Arabian Derby.
What? Did you say I want to be?
Yeah, it was exactly that. Yeah. And so I did that, but then I moved over to ice creams, hot dogs.
Is that because you wasn't any good?
No, I was excellent. Good question, Suze. Yeah. I was excellent, but I think...
Too good.
Well, actually, the people next door complained that I was too loud on the Arabian Derby. Genuinely.
Can't imagine it, can you?
I mean, I was so soft-spoken. But then I moved into ice creams and hot dogs. Did that for...
Did you have any moments like in our confession with drunken scouse ladies?
Well, it would come up. It was a summer job, so everyone's had a drink. That's fine, isn't it? But sometimes people would lose their temper. And I remember when I didn't have any Tutti Frutti ice cream.
Oh my goodness,
I cannot tell you. So I had a board behind me that showed all this, like, myriad different flavours, and all we had was strawberry, mint choc chip, vanilla and chocolate, and that was it. And yet this board showed all these amazing, and so the people saying, "I want Tutti Frutti."
I'd want Tutti Frutti.
I'm sorry, all we've got is mint choc chip, strawberry, vanilla and chocolate.
Why wouldn't you like cross out the ones that you didn't have?
Well, I could have done that, Holly, good question, and I didn't, because that would have been vandalism.
No, that's a failure.
Actually, and so I didn't, and then they would say, instead I'll have a Neapolitan, and I was like, all I've got is mint
chocolate. Chocolate is fine.
I
would never pick chocolate.
Chocolate ice cream.
Mint chocolate chip or strawberry. Probably.
Strawberry. I'll be honest, none of them ice creams were very good because you could eat all the ice cream. Well, I don't know whether you were supposed to.
You would eat all the ice cream.
I figured I wasn't getting paid very well.
I thought
at the end of every shift,
mass
having an ice cream. And I'd eat all of them all together, which isn't as tasty as you think.
Well, then that's the issue. It's not the ice cream wasn't very good. It's that you mixed all the flavours. flavours into some sort of combination.
You'd think that, Suze, but turns out it's not very tasty.
But it's just like there are only two TV channels. There were only four flavours.
Yes, there were. And in those days, there were only four flavours. Mm. Yes, that's what we had to do.
So it should have been
fine. Make our own fun in those days, didn't we, Simon? Yes,
sing around
true.
The piano and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Anyway, that's the end, mercifully. If you have a tale to tell... and you need some forgiveness, please send your tale to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
Yes, and this week's secret code phrase is hands off my ketchup. Hands off my ketchup.
If you've made it this far, you can post this week's code phrase, which is...
hands off my ketchup.
On Threads or Blue Sky or Instagram or Matt on X.
Yeah, I am.
Remember to leave us a 5-star review and don't forget
please.
To share the podcast in a bath or a shower because it's that season. We'll be back
it's
next
that season.
Yeah, that's right. For sharing showers because it's hot and it's summer. That's what everyone
that's
does.
What we have to do
at
now,
work.
Is it?
Share at work. Showers.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a rotor that goes up.
The greatest hits rotor. Is it me and Ken this week? I do hope so. Me and Ken in the shower.
But how do you share a shower?
How do you what?
How do you share a shower?
So do you take turns? Or are you under the water together?
Yeah, I think you have to be under the water. Otherwise, you're not sharing the shower, are you?
Well, it depends. One could be outside.
One comes in very quickly. Yeah. So you don't turn the shower off. Good point, Suze.
A bit like in prison.
In prison, because we'd all know. Anyway, edit point there, I think. Edit point.
Back next week.
Yes.
With more of the nonsense.
More of this.
Until then, from Sister Susie.
Bye-bye.
Sister Holly.
See you later, alligator.
Bye.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
I'm trying to save some time.
Yeah. No.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Well done.